Well, it is that time to commit our study to the Lord, and so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you today for who you are. You are the great and mighty God, the awesome God of the universe. There is no God in comparison to you in greatness, in glory, and in goodness, and in generosity. You are God who gives and gives. You are God who shower and pour out your grace upon our lives. Lord, had it not been your grace, had it not been for your mercy, Lord, none of us would be here today. Thank you that you do not treat us according to our sins. We bless you that you have mercy to relieve us, as we sung in our hymn. I pray today, committing this study to you, that your Holy Spirit will take over and direct our thoughts, our hearts, to where you want our hearts and thoughts directed. And I pray that you open our hearts to plant the seed of your truth, so that you will do the work you intend to do in our lives, individually and collectively, as we gather in your presence. I submit myself to you, to the authority of your Holy Spirit, that he will speak your word through me and glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, in our previous study, as Mother Hazel sits down, in our previous study of the precious word of God, we began our verse-by-verse study of the concluding chapter of the book of Habakkuk. The opening verses of Habakkuk chapter 3 can be described as a passage of reverence and revival. Habakkuk the prophet expressed his reverence for God when he gave undivided attention, listening attention to the Lord his God, and understood what God personally communicated to him, and he expressed his awe, his reverence for God. Motivated by what he heard about the Lord his God, Habakkuk passionately sought God for the revival of his work. This will be the focus of our study today, the revival of God's work. So please, if you have your Bibles in your hands, turn them to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage again to us from the updated New American Standard Bible? The Bible says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." May the Lord add his blessing to the reciter of his holy word. Well, the main idea, or the heart of this brief but blessed passage of scripture, which by the way is only 20 words in the original, is this. And I want you please to listen carefully to it now. God, that is Almighty God, is more than able to renew his works in our day. But he must be humbly and earnestly sought for the renewal. This is what Habakkuk is teaching us. He believed that God can renew his works, but he must be sought for that work in earnestness and humility of heart, knowing very well that God's believing child can put his or her trust fully in God, who is faithful in keeping his promises. Habakkuk approaches the throne of God in humility of heart and fervently calls upon God to do a God-sized work in his day. Oftentimes, we want something to be done, but it's a man-sized work. Habakkuk says, I'm not dealing with a man-sized work. I'm asking God to do a God-sized work. So the first point we examined in our previous time of study had to do with the prayer of the prophet in verse 1. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk is entitled A Prayer. So you are, when you read chapter 3, you are looking at a prayer of a prophet. God led him into that prayer, and then he wrote it down for you and me, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Habakkuk was a prophet who made the most of the privilege God has given believers to pray to him. Do you know that it is a privilege for you and me to pray to God? This is a great privilege. Habakkuk made the most of this great privilege given to all believers of all ages. I believe God wants us to learn from and be challenged by Habakkuk's effective life of prayer. Habakkuk's prayer in chapter 3 is set to music and sang in formal worship. So in other words, it is a prayer psalm or a song. So when the Jewish people gather to pray, sometimes they open Habakkuk chapter 3 and they prayed as a song to God. Well, the second teaching from this passage focused on the person to whom the prophet prayed in verse 2a. Habakkuk's prayer was directed to a person named Yahweh or the Lord, that is the self-existent, the self-sufficient, the sovereign and supreme deity of the universe. We learn that the God you pray to reveals a lot about your spiritual life. That is a very, very important lesson that I don't want you to forget. When all the study of Habakkuk is done, one of the lessons I want you to remember is this, that the God you pray to reveals a lot about your spiritual life. So this is where we now pick up our study to complete our message entitled, O Lord, Revive Your Work. I tell you, friends and fellow believers in the family of God, Habakkuk had a balanced prayer life. He not only adored God, but he also asked God to do things that are according to his will for his people. Habakkuk not only thanked God, the Lord his God, he also told him the burdens weighing in his heart. And we saw that in chapter 1 especially. He not only praised God, his rock, and his Holy One, but he also petitioned God to do things for his people that are consistent with his divine purposes. So we now come to the third and final teaching point of our passage of study, dealing specifically with the petitions of the prophet in prayer. That is the last part of verse 2 we will be looking at today. The Bible is now going to teach us an important secret of effective prayer from Habakkuk's life. But you ask, what is that secret of effective prayer that we can learn from Habakkuk's life? Well, I'm glad you've asked it. Please listen carefully to it now. Here is the secret. The secret is this: making petitions that are in accord with God's desires. Making petitions or requests that are consistent with the will of God. I tell you, friends, God answers petitions or requests or supplications that are consistent with his will. The only time in the Bible God answered people who craved for things that were not in accord with God's desires was in the wilderness. Remember the children of Israel in the wilderness. in spite of God providing for the children of Israel in the wilderness and performing miracle after miracle for them, the Bible says in Psalm 78 that in their heart they put God to the test by asking food according to their desires. In other words, what they were asking was not in accord with God's desires. Now, someone says, asking for food, is that a wrong thing to do? No, it is not a wrong thing to do if you ask God to provide food for you. The Lord Jesus himself taught us, give us what? Our daily bread. So we can pray to God to provide for our food. But the situation we are describing in Psalm 78 is that these people were craving selfishly for what they wanted. They were craving for their food. They said, well, we ate, we had onions, garlics, and all other stuffs in Egypt. Look at what we are eating. Give us meat. So they didn't ask with a heart of gratitude. They asked in order to satisfy their selfish desires. That was the only time. The Bible says God gave them their desires, but before they had satisfied their desire, while their food was in their mouths, the anger of the Lord rose against them and killed some of the stoutest ones. They experienced what we call the leanness of soul. Their days ended in futility. So please read Psalm 78 if you want to see the only time God gave people their desire when they were craving for it. And they ended up what? Dying. Because they craved, they were not content with what God gave them. Well, Habakkuk was not going to repeat that fatal mistake. The prophet knew of God's great power and had heard accounts of God's miraculous actions on behalf of his people in the past. And he longed to see such things again. But because of wickedness and rebellion, the people had not experienced God's presence in a powerful way for quite some time. In fact, they had offended God so greatly that the only display of power they were bound to see anytime soon will come in the form of God's judgment. Therefore, Habakkuk made two petitions or requests to God. And we see that in the second part of verse 2. Actually, these two petitions, listen carefully, are the only two petitions Habakkuk asked in all of chapter 3. In all his prayer, when he prayed to God, he asked only two things. And this is what we are going to study today. Notice the Bible says in verse 2b, O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. After Habakkuk had approached God humbly and had recognized his true worth and great deeds, he was ready to make petitions. You see, when you go to God in prayer, there are times, oftentimes, when you see David, he'll be worshiping God, and then he presents his petitions to God. The same thing you and I must learn to do. There are times we can go directly to God and just ask for what we need. But oftentimes, when we have time, let's begin by what? Worshiping God, praising God. And then after that, we can put our petitions before him. Habakkuk learned that and practiced that. Habakkuk's petitions here are different from what he was asking in chapter 1. In chapter 1, he was asking tough questions. So there are two specific petitions in the second part of verse 2. The first petition is the revival of God's work in the prophet's day. And the second petition is the remembrance of God's mercy in the midst of the anticipated outpouring of his wrath. Each petition, listen carefully now, deserves special study because these two petitions were the only petitions Habakkuk brought to God in his entire prayer. So it is very important for us to look carefully at what Habakkuk is asking and what God can teach us from these two petitions so that we can also apply it to our lives and to our nations. So if you are ready for the special study of these two petitions, let's begin with Habakkuk's first petition, that is the revival of God's work in his day. Now, the first thing we need to learn about this petition, when Habakkuk prayed, "O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known." The first thing I want you to know about this petition is that the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person in the triune God, placed this request on Habakkuk's heart to bring to God. In other words, the Spirit of God, who himself is the Spirit of revival, laid this petition on Habakkuk's heart to bring to the throne of grace. But you ask, how do you know that? How do you know that the Holy Spirit laid this burden of praying for revival of God's work on Habakkuk's heart? Well, please listen. The same Holy Spirit who inspired the prophet in the first place to write this prophetic book is the same Spirit who moved him in his heart to bring this burden and petition to God. So the practical question to you is, do you allow the Holy Spirit to lay on your heart petitions that are consistent with God's will so you can bring them to God? That's all we need to do. I need to be just open to the Holy Spirit and then let him lay on my heart what petitions he wants me to pray for people or for myself. And when I do that, I can be confident that God will answer me. Because God has never refused the Holy Spirit when he prays. I tell you, friends, this little book of Habakkuk has been teaching us a lot about God's ways. And I hope you are learning and putting these lessons into practice by the help of the Holy Spirit. The second lesson we see in Habakkuk's first petition is his passion in prayer. Notice Habakkuk begins by crying out passionately, "O Lord, revive your work." Habakkuk was a passionate prophet. No wonder he prayed with passion, fervor, and zeal. Please let me ask you, how will you describe your prayer life? Would you say you are passionate in your prayers or passive in your prayers? Just simply going through a routine or a ritual? When was the last time you prayed with fervor, with zeal, earnestness, with everything within you to the Lord your God? You see, Habakkuk knew God had given him an awesome privilege to come into his presence and pour out his heart to God. As such, Habakkuk made the most of this awesome privilege by passionately, fervently, earnestly calling upon the Lord for renewal. Now, the third thing we will learn in Habakkuk's first petition is this. Remember, I told you we are doing a study of these two petitions. So that's why I'm breaking it down for you and for me. Please notice that Habakkuk presses God. He presses God to revive his work in the midst of the years. Notice how he presses God. How do I know he's pressing God? How do I know he's putting full court pressure on God? Well, here's why I know. Notice Habakkuk uses an important action word in his petition. What is that action word? Well, the action word is what? Revive. Revive. The Hebrew word for revive is kaya. It also means to refresh, to restore to life, to renew, to quicken, to make alive, enliven, to animate, to live anew, or to call a non-existent thing into life. So Habakkuk uses this powerful word that says, I want things to be restored to life. I want things to be made anew. Now please listen, to renew or revive is not merely, listen, to refurbish something, like refinishing an antique. Most of you have had antiques and you redid the polish and it looked like new, right? Well, that is not Habakkuk is not saying God just polish the top and then it will look like new. That's not what he's asking. He's asking God to do a new work. Revival means to make alive. So when we pray for revival of a nation, what we are asking is that people who were formerly spiritually dead will be made alive through God's Spirit, who is the source of new life. Oh, how I like Habakkuk the prophet so much. But you say, what makes you like him so much? Well, notice Habakkuk prays that God's work, not his work, be revived. Do you see that for yourself? Habakkuk prays that God's deeds, not his own deeds or desires, be renewed. And this reminds me of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came here on earth. Once he said to his disciples in John chapter 4 verse 34, listen to what Jesus said to them. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Now this is Jesus himself praying that what? His food will be to do the will of God who sent him and to accomplish his work. In other words, Jesus says, doing God's will and God's work is very, very important to me. The Lord Jesus was only concerned with God's will and God's work. You see, like the Lord Jesus, Habakkuk has gotten his mind off his own work now and desires the establishment of God's work and God's work alone. He knows that if God is sending the Babylonian invasion, which we looked at in chapter 1, he will build a new work out of the disaster of that invasion. So he prays for God to renew his work. You see, usually when you and I pray to God, we ask God to renew our works, our projects, our plans, our deeds. Our interest is really on what we are building and not on what God may desire. Please listen, you and I need to learn that God may not be interested in our little pet projects or even our big projects. However big or little they are, God may not be interested. I may want to do something big. And God says, that's not what I want. And I can spend all my life, all my money, all my energy doing that work. And if it's not of God, He's not interested. If He's not the one leading me to do it, He's not interested. Oh, people may praise me. Oh, look at what He's done. But when I stand before God, He's going to turn His face from that work. In fact, that work will burn, as the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians. It will burn right before my own eyes. Why? It is not God's work. It's my work, my own work. Please listen. We need to come to the point where we say honestly, humbly, earnestly, passionately, O Lord, renew your deeds. O Lord, revive your work. And I'm going to ask us together to say that. I'll say it again, and then you can join me. Because this is the prayer Habakkuk prayed for his nation, and we can also pray this for our nation. And that is, O Lord, revive your work. So say it with me. O Lord, revive your work. Now the question is, what specific work of God is Habakkuk petitioning God to revive or renew? Does the book of Habakkuk give us any clue as to what work of God the prophet is pressing God to make alive? He says, O Lord, revive your work. What is that work? Well, in Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 5, God specifically told the prophet Habakkuk that He will do something in his days. Remember, He told him, look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. You will not believe it if you were told. While we learn from the rest of Habakkuk that this work refers to the twofold judgment which God revealed to the prophet in chapters 1 and 2. So Habakkuk will have God manifest His grace to Israel and judgment upon his enemies by renewing the display of His mighty power as of old in intervening on behalf of His people. Habakkuk petitions God to repeat His mighty saving works on behalf of His people Israel. He remembered God demonstrated His power in rescuing the children of Israel from what? Egypt. In bondage. And when He judged them, He also judged their enemies. In other words, he prayed that God will come again and reveal His presence among His people with a fresh display of power, His power. You see, Habakkuk knew that God's people will not survive if the Lord did not intervene or step in with His generous grace, His undeserved favor, and the power of His Spirit. Only then could they experience true spiritual life. And may I say to us, unless we also earnestly implore God to intervene, this nation will not see true spiritual renewal, a renewal which can only be brought about by the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of revival Himself. Now, fourth, would you please notice the particular time Habakkuk prays to God to revive His work? So, we know that first the person of the Holy Spirit was moving him to pray. Then we saw his passion in prayer on this petition. Then we saw how he presses on God to revive his work. Now, we are looking at the particular time Habakkuk prays to God to revive his work. What is that particular time? Well, Habakkuk petitions God to revive his work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, he tells God, make it known. So two times, he tells us the particular time he's praying to God to do what? To revive his work. Two times. The repetition of the phrase, in the midst of the years, expresses the earnest longing with which Habakkuk looks to God to renew his work. The New International Version translates in the midst of the years, which is only that phrase, which is only two words in the Hebrew, Bekerev Shanim. Bekerev Shanim. The NIV translates it as our day and our time. The Hebrew word for year is Shana. It is used as a division of time or of duration of life. So Habakkuk says, in my duration of life, in my time given for me here on earth, God, renew your work. Renew your work. So, what day is that? What time is he referring to? We know that it is his day, his time. Well, clearly, what we learn from the rest of the book of Habakkuk is that it is the day of invasion. Remember, God had already told him the Chaldeans will come and invade Judah for their rebellion against him. So please listen carefully now to what Habakkuk is praying. Habakkuk is asking God for renewal in the midst of bad times. Because there will be an invasion in the land. And Habakkuk says, okay, God, I know this invasion is coming, but I want you to renew your work in these bad times. So he's asking God to do this renewal in difficult, distressful times in the land of Israel. Actually, when you study the history of revival periods, one common theme you will discover is that revivals usually begin in bad times. Revivals rarely happen in good times or great times. They often start in bad times. That is the way God usually operates. So Habakkuk was in line with God's normal way of acting when he prayed for renewal in the time of invasion, in a time of distraction and distress and difficulty soon to come upon the land of Judah. So the question is, are our times bad? Is ours a spiritual desert? If so, it is now particularly that we can cry out to God for revival and be heard. If our times were great, well, we will not ask for revival. If things were going on, people are following God, obeying God, there's no need to pray for revival. But when times are bad, God's word is being mocked. The law is being rejected. Then that is the time you and I should cry out to God for revival. commentators, Kyle and Dillich, share this insight on the particular time Habakkuk sought God to revive his work. And I quote them. They say, when a prophet directs his eye to the still remote object of the oracle, the fulfillment of which was to be delayed, but yet assuredly to come at last, the interval between the present time, that is about 610 BC, and the Moed appointed by God, that is, the Moed is the appointed time by God, and that is about 539 BC before the Babylonians will be destroyed. So we are looking over a 70 year period. That time appears to him as a long series of years, at the end of which the judgment is to come upon the oppressors of his people, namely the Chaldeans. He therefore prays that the Lord will not delay too long the work which he designs to do, or cause it to come to life only at the end of the appointed interval, but will bring it to life within the years which will pass by if the fulfillment were delayed before that Moed arrived, the appointed time arrived. So a time of 610 to 539, over 70 years. Habakkuk says, God, don't wait that long. My lifetime will have been gone. Now we come to the second petition of Habakkuk the prophet in his prayer to God. It has to do with the remembrance of God's mercy in the midst of the anticipated outpouring of God's wrath. Notice he prays in the spirit, in wrath, remember mercy. The Hebrew says it, Berogez, Rakem, Tizekor. What is Habakkuk requesting here? Well, Habakkuk is pleading with God that in his wrath upon Judah and the Babylonians, that he remembers his mercy. Habakkuk says, Lord, let your judgment be tempered with mercy. I plead with you, Lord, that when you judge, you will also be merciful. He asked God, Lord, in the midst of your righteous punishment of your wayward people of Judah at the hand of the Chaldeans, I beg that you remember mercy. I tell you, friends and fellow believers in the family of God, the second petition of Habakkuk is a simple yet significant one, because it is the theme and the heart of the prayer. What a great petition to live with God. What an effective request to bring before God. What an appropriate way to win and be assured of God's favor. Why? God is a God of mercy. So to pray for mercy, even in the day of his wrath, is to plead for that which is central to his character. That is why we sang the hymn we sang, Savior, like a shepherd, lead me. And the first stanza talks about he has mercy to what? Relieve us. Habakkuk prays that God will do for his people as he has in the past, and while inflicting punishment on them, he will also remember his mercy to deliver also. You see, Habakkuk knew that God was going to discipline the people of Judah, and that it wasn't going to be a pleasant experience. God's discipline is never pleasant. It is always painful. But Habakkuk accepted God's will, asking and pleading with God earnestly for his mercy in this judgment. Habakkuk did not ask to escape the discipline of God on disobedient Judah, but he accepted the truth that Judah needed to learn a lesson. So the Bible is teaching us here, listen carefully now, that Habakkuk prayed that during the coming times of distress, God will be merciful to his people Because what? Without his mercy, they will not survive. Isn't that the truth? Without God's mercy, you and I will not survive. We too need a continual supply of God's mercies that never cease. Every morning when I wake up, one of the things I give thanks for is to kneel by my bed and say, God, I thank you for your mercies that are new every morning and your compassions that never fail. His mercies are there every day, whether I feel it or not. So I will say, God, I thank you. Well, the Hebrew word translated mercy is rakam. It also means to soothe, to cherish, to love deeply like parents. I know some parents didn't love deeply, so it might not be a good example for you if you had such a parent. It also means to be compassionate, to have compassion as God does toward men, to show pity, to be tender, to demonstrate mercy. It refers to a motherly sense of compassion and pity. This verb occurs 125 times in the Hebrew Old Testament and usually refers to a very strong love which is rooted in some kind of natural bond, often from a superior one to an inferior one. So Habakkuk is pleading with God as your wrath is unleashed in the judgment of your wayward people, remember to be compassionate to them. Remember to show us pity. Remember to be tender to us. Remember to demonstrate your strong love toward us, a love which is rooted in your covenant relationship with your chosen people, Israel. So this second petition, as I pondered it, brings to mind the story of Jonah and the Ninevites. Remember, God had purpose to do what? To judge the Ninevites. But at the preaching of Jonah the prophet, the people repented. And instead of God bringing his judgment on them, he poured out his mercy on them. So this prayer of Habakkuk is clearly seen when you look at Jonah, which we study about 3 or 4 years ago. Perhaps you are pondering, how is Habakkuk's petition in wrath, remember mercy, going to be worked out? How is it going to be carried out in a practical sense? Well, here is how. First, God will show mercy to his people Israel by softening the cruelty of the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people whom God himself had raised up to execute his righteous judgment on rebellious Judah. And second, God will show mercy in his wrath by accelerating or speeding up the overthrow of the Chaldeans, putting a speedy end to their tyranny. What a sound and solid petition Habakkuk brought to the throne of God. Dr. McGee shares this thought provoking insights regarding Habakkuk's second petition. And I want you to listen carefully to what he writes. Quote, before Habakkuk had been calling down fire from God, not only upon his own nation who had departed from God, but also upon the Chaldeans. Now, he's saying, Lord, don't forget to be merciful. Well, God is merciful and God is gracious. He's not willing that any should perish. It does look today as if God is not doing anything, but if you and I could ascend to the watchtower of Habakkuk, if we could learn that the just shall live by his faith, if we could have a living faith in God and see what is moving behind the scenes and see the wheels that are turning, I think we will be as surprised as this man was. I am not sure, but that we too will cry out to God for mercy. a great many Christians today have thrown up their hands about the conditions in our own country. They've just given up, like we all feel. They've just given up. We all feel that way at times, don't we? But may I say to you, God is moving today in judgment, and somebody needs to cry out to Him and say, "Oh Lord, in wrath, as you are moving in judgment, don't forget to be merciful to us. We need your mercy." The great nation of ours needs the mercy of God today. Since World War II, we have been on an ego trip. We have really had a flight of pride, of being the greatest nation in the world. And now even our little gas baggies have been slowed down. We feel almost helpless today. What will we do in a time of major crisis? How long will we really last? It is my belief that God is moving in judgment and that we need to ask Him to be merciful. He goes on to say, what a reversal has taken place in the thinking of this man. At first he said, "You are not doing anything. Lord, why don't you do something? Why do you let them get by with their sin?" Now God has let Habakkuk see that he's doing something, and Habakkuk cries out for the mercy of God. If we really knew how much God is moving in judgment, I am of the opinion that it will bring America to her knees before Almighty God. End of his quote. Please listen, if we will see a mighty working of the Spirit of God in our time, we must get to the point where we desire and earnestly pray and plead for God's mercy. We must pray for His mercy on us as a nation. Remember, on one occasion, the Lord Jesus told a story about a Pharisee and a publican. The Pharisee was so proud of his spiritual achievement, so he went up to the temple and prayed like this: "God, I thank you. I'm not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." The tax collector, or the publican, was aware of his failures and would not even look up to heaven. He prayed, "God," beating his chest, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Lord Jesus ended the story by saying, this man, the tax collector, who says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," he was justified. As I bring this message to a close, I want to stress the importance of making definite, individual, personalized requests or petitions that are in accord with God's will, as we see here in Habakkuk's prayer. You see, too many of our prayers are filled with sweeping generalizations that seek God's blessings. Effective prayer, however, focuses on specific requests that are consistent with God's will. If we pinpoint our prayers, we will have reason to praise God for particular answers. So let me illustrate that with this story. Some years ago, a young girl was very sick and not expected to recover. Because of her love for Jesus, she was troubled that she had not been able to do more for Him in her short life. Her pastor suggested that she make a list of people in their little town who needed Christ and pray that they might put their faith in Christ. So that this petition is in accord with God's will, because God wants people to be what? Saved. So if I pray for them to be saved, God in His sovereign wisdom will do what He needs to do. Well, the young girl took the pastor's advice, made a list, and prayed for each person often. Sometime later, God began to stir up a revival in their little village. The girl heard of the people who were coming to Christ and prayed even more. As she heard reports, she checked off the names of those who had been led to the Lord. After the girl died, a prayer list with the names of 56 people were found under her pillow. All had put their faith in Christ, the last one on the night before her death. Such, my fellow believers in Jesus Christ, is the power of definite, specific, fervent prayer that is in accordance with God's will. This is what the book of Habakkuk is teaching us. Do you have a definite, specific prayer list which is in accord with God's desires for people? Please listen, as the foundation of the church is being shaken today, and trouble and opposition seem to be everywhere, we need more than ever to rely on the indwelling Holy Spirit to pray definitely, earnestly, fervently, specifically for a renewed sense of God's presence and power. Why? Nothing else will bring spiritual revival or renewal to God's people unless we pray definitely as Habakkuk prayed. Oh Lord, revive your work. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible makes it very clear that you are among the children of wrath. That is, God's wrath is hanging over your life. If you were to die today without putting your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be facing the wrath of a holy and righteous God. And that, my friend, is no laughing matter. But the Bible also makes it very clear that God is what? Rich in mercy. He is willing to extend his offer of mercy to you today, like he extended it to the tax collector who prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So pray that simple prayer today to Jesus. Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Put your trust in Jesus today for the forgiveness of your sins. And praise Jesus today that his death on the cross paid in full your sin debt, and that his resurrection from the dead on the third day has made a way for you and me to be saved and brought into a right standing with a holy and righteous God, both now and to the day of eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray as Habakkuk prayed, O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make your work known in this land, in this great nation. And in your wrath, Lord, we pray that you will remember your mercy. For indeed, you are God that is merciful. And now, Lord, I pray, pronouncing your blessing upon your people. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. And all God's people said, Amen.